This is LiveMint.com and you're listening to the Mint Editor's Podcast with me, Nandita Mathur, and Mint's editor, R. Sukumar. So welcome to the first podcast of this new year. And let's discuss some issues that are seeming to become big in this coming year.
Let's start off by hoping that it's a better year than last.
Yes, definitely. We start with demonetization, and a lot of the old currency has been deposited in the banks.
Almost all of it, if some reports are to be believed. There's no official word from government yet.
And ATM queues and bank queues have sort of, become less, though there are still complaints that people are facing inconveniences. But what do you think the fallout of this is going to be in this year, and 50 days are up now?
See, our position has always been three things, right? The first one is, and this is even before demonetization, even before Aadhaar, we've been big supporters of things like cashless, digital, and cash transfers, right? As a replacement to subsidy. So if you look at that, that's at one level, right? And we've always maintained that the short-term impact of demonetization will be painful, which is borne out in a variety of numbers that have come out. Long-term impact, we don't know. We really don't know. There are people who are going out and saying the economy will shrink. We have no idea. At the same time, there is a counter-argument that because a lot of transactions that was previously happening in cash are now happening digitally, your taxation will improve, which I believe to a certain extent, because although it will involve follow-up activity to make sure that you widen the tax base. The important thing is to widen the tax base without sort of, I mean, there's no better word for this, without reverting to what's called the Inspector Raj, right? I mean, where you keep looking at accounts and you keep looking at tax returns, and you make life difficult for taxpayers, and you also make life difficult for doing business. You need to have a very efficient system, but it also needs to be in some ways an almost invisible system, right? Those are the best ways of doing it. So long term, unknown, could be positive. I'm not sure it'll be negative. Short term, pain. But the important thing to note, and you mentioned the assembly elections. So I think what has happened is that the Prime Minister has been able to sell this idea, which is a difficult idea, which is a radical idea, fairly effortlessly to a lot of people, because the initial reports we are getting from the ground, even from states such as Uttar Pradesh, which is headed to the polls, is that the man on the street has gone through pain, but actually thinks demonetization is not a bad thing, right? So politically, it might be a good move. Of course, we have a ready reckoner. We have a referendum of sorts, right? I mean, the polls are in some ways going to be a referendum of what people think about demonetization. And we'll see how it goes.
Also linked to this fact is the budget, which is sort of being now even further preponed to, 31st or the 1st of February.
First. Yeah.
Okay. And with the assembly elections also being just, slightly from 11th or whatever the EC has announced. And there's a little bit of controversy over this.
So let me start off by first explaining the context and my understanding. The decision to bring the budget forward to 1st February was taken quite some time back. And I think it was a good decision. And I still think it's a good decision, because the whole idea is, by the time you get the bill passed and everything else, almost a quarter is over. And so how can you have a budget for a financial year where, the document is finalized well after the financial year has begun? Doesn't make sense. The second part of it is that we all know that the rest of the world operates to a January-December timeline. And there have been efforts in some quarters to also integrate the Indian economy's books with this sort of accounting period. I do think that eventually, I'm not saying tomorrow, I'm not saying next year, but eventually I think we will move to a January-December, which means it probably makes sense for the budget to be presented in the winter session of Parliament, right? Which will then become the budget session. November is probably a good time to present it, and then you get through December, pass it, so that Jan 1 you begin with the... But that is eventual. It could take 5 years, it could take 10 years, whatever. This is like one of those really good ideas, like simultaneous state and parliamentary elections, which most people agree with, but which will take a long time to implement. But eventually that's... So the logic of that is impeccable, can't be argued with. India has something called the Model Code of Conduct, which is about how governments in power can't make announcements or announce new policies that could influence electoral outcomes. It's a good thing to have. My own understanding was that while state budgets fell afoul of the Model Code of Conduct, I'm not sure the central budget falls afoul of that on paper, right? But then we also have a precedent. And the precedent we have is 2012, where the budget was deferred by 2 weeks, a fortnight, to finish state elections, because 2012 was when these states previously went to thing. I am not sure that's going to happen this time, right? I'm sure the budget will go ahead as planned. But we'll have to wait and watch. There's just that little bit of uncertainty about that. Now to the text of the budget, and part of the reason why I hope there's no change in the schedule. I've previously said this. I think this budget will be one of those popular budgets which have a lot of things for the common man, for salaried individuals, for taxpayers. Mm. Sure, there will be emphasis on rural India, agriculture. I expect a lot of emphasis on this digital India and all that, cashless.
Right.
But I think there will be some changes in tax rates, positive changes, which means a cut for both individual and corporates. The corporate one has previously been announced, as in we've said we have this long-term objective of moving to a more rational corporate rate, which is good. And I expect some of those changes to come in. It'll make people feel better.
Right.
Whatever short-term pain they felt on account of demonetization, it'll make them forget that pain. Indians are quite happy paying indirect taxes. Income tax is one big pain point.
Right.
Even if at the topmost tier, at the highest level, they removed all the surcharges and the cesses, even that would be a welcome move, right? Mm. So I expect something like that to happen. And the sooner it happens, the better, right? Because it would mean an improvement in investor and consumer sentiment. I would like us to return as soon as we can to where we were around the end of October, where macroeconomic numbers were beginning to look good. Consumption seemed to be back on track. Consumption has definitely taken a beating in the short term because of demonetization. Like I said, that's part of the short term pain. So the sooner this happens, the better. So if the budget gets pushed, it obviously can't happen beginning of February. So I'm hoping it happens. But irrespective of whatever happens, I think the budget will be a popular one. If it is, great. If it isn't, then we're all in trouble.
Just coming back to an earlier point, which is linked to the election, doesn't it also sort of put the ruling party in a favorable position, because they'll announce all these SOPs and measures and soon they'll go to the polls? And also points to the EC, because the date of the budget was well known and then the election date is announced later on.
Yeah, but you have to do the elections also, right? See, where do elections happen? You need the entire school educational infrastructure, the school infrastructure, the physical infrastructure of schools, soft infrastructure of schools, which is the teachers, especially government teachers and everything else, who will be on duty. That's how polls get done in this country. That's one. So that has to go on. So it's not as if the elections could have been held later. After April would have been much too late. So they have to happen now. And as for the budget, I would like to view these things rather ideally and in a very puristic way as two mutually exclusive things. But I do buy your point of the government being in a position to announce populist and feel-good things. But I'm trying to look at it from a different side, right? After all the short-term pain, people want to feel good, right? So I'm not looking at, rather unidimensionally, I'm not looking at what all these nice things that they'll announce in the budget will do for the party. Mm. I'm looking at what it will do for consumer and investor sentiment.
Right.
And from that perspective, it's a good thing.
So moving on, GST was another sort of pain point which went on all of last year, and
it seems to be continuing to happen. Our GST report put it perfectly. I really don't want to say anything more. It says the direction is there, but the deadline will be missed.
Yes.
Right? And that's all I can say, which means it's going to go on for some more time. Some of the states have come up with some new interesting ways of looking at things. The direction is right.
Yeah.
Clearly going to miss the deadline.
Indeed.
Again, it's one of those things that's needed. But my own fear is that it's got so diluted now from its original, very clear objective of what it was to be. I think every dilution reduces its impact.
By the end, we might see a very different sort of thing.
Yes.
So shifting gears, we move to BCCI, which sort of didn't have a very good new year, in the sense that they sacked Anurag Thakur and the secretary because of the Lodha committee thing. So how do you think BCCI, this is actually going to impact not so much the organization, but the business of cricket in India?
There are two levels at which one has to see this, right? The first one is at the level of principles. I'm not sure the Supreme Court should be getting involved in the running of cricket in this country, right? So let's get that out of the way first, because this is judicial overreach to the extreme, right? What will you want to do next? So let's get that out of the way. But that said, it's very difficult to ignore the fact that Indian cricket has been run in a very ad hoc, corrupt and arbitrary manner.
Right.
With huge politicization of the whole process. And if we view cricket as a public good, which is what I think the courts, it's the position the courts have always taken. It's why irrespective of whoever pays big money to get broadcast rights, Doordarshan always gets a feed for free. So I think you need to reform that. And some of the Lodha Committee's recommendations are a step in the direction of reforming how cricket is run in this country. Mm. You get professionals, you get good former cricketers, not the kind of former cricketers who sold their soul, but sensible former cricketers. We had a piece by one of our columnists where he said Sourav Ganguly will be a good BCCI chief. Mm. I agree, right? He was a good captain. I think he'd make a good chief. And you need to get professional administrators, right? I mean, you need to get people from media agencies, you know, the guys who do buying and selling of media space and things like the airtime and things like that, because these guys really know how advertising works, how broadcasting works. And that is really the business. You don't really make so much money from ticket sales and other things. You need to get professional lawyers. You need to get people who can run the sport and who can build the sport. But that said, while BCCI has been a very arbitrary and very corrupt body, I think it's been good for cricket as a whole, at a very macro level. Because you look at what's happened, there's been a certain democratization in terms of where the players are coming from now. There are huge opportunities. The quality of infrastructure in many states in the country has improved because of BCCI grants. And of course, the money was given in a very ad hoc way. And if you were nice to them, they would give you. If you were not nice to them, they wouldn't give you. And all those things would happen. And of course, some states which were nice would take the money and then not do anything. So again, you know, I think Jammu and Kashmir, there have been some issues. It's one of those long pending. I remember vaguely there being some case also. In that particular instance, I don't know what's happened to that. So the quality of infrastructure has improved. The players are happy, right? I remember having a conversation with Virendra Sehwag once, right? I mean, at an event. And we were speaking about exactly this, and he's a phenomenally articulate person. And he said, you can't argue with the fact that, you might at a moralistic point of view argue about the thing, but he said, you can't argue with the fact that BCCI has been good for people like me because we get more money per match.
Right.
Right? I mean, at a very, very simple level. So the business is doing well. Yeah. So BCCI has been good for business. It's not run well. It's not governed well. It's a society. Right? I mean, so do we need to restructure it as a different sort of thing and all that? And how do we depoliticize it? Yeah. Which is a big challenge, right? I mean, the BCCI president who got kicked out was a BJP person, right? So how do we, and there are enough Congress people in it also. It's one of those places where people of all parties there, and it's a rare instance of tremendous being unity being displayed by the political parties when it comes to their opposition to the Lodha Committee report. Although, to be fair, I don't think the central government has come out and said it doesn't like the report or anything. It's steered clear of that, maybe because of the potential for conflict of interest. But I think it's a good move. We'll have to see who the people running BCCI are, whether they'll be able to continue to maintain the revenue momentum, because they generate a lot of money, and that's the good part of it. But they have to be well governed. Currently, they're not. That has to change.
Great. So those were Sukumar's top stories for this week. Do let us know what you think. You can email us at feedback@livemint.com or follow us at LiveMint on Twitter or Mint on Facebook. Thank you for listening and see you next Friday.